Hello and welcome to the Heads and Volleys podcast with me, Lee Dunn.
This episode I'm going to talk about green lines, which is funny because a game of soccer is played on green grass with white lines. But I'm actually talking about the connections that form when you connect players on FIFA. Most of your players probably play FIFA. There was a study done, or an informal study, about how successful FIFA has been for growing the game of soccer because it's so accessible to most individuals, whether they play on their phones or on an actual gaming system. But people are playing FIFA more and more, so more people are understanding the game. But importantly, there is the fantasy element of it with the Ultimate Team. The Ultimate Team, you pick a bunch of cards, or you get given a bunch of cards when you first start, and you pick a formation and you plug the players in. And between every player is a line. It connects the defensive line, the midfield line, the attacking line, and then also lines on angles. So central defenders are connecting with central midfielders and so on. And you'll see it if you've played it, and if not, just a quick Google on what it looks like and you'll really understand where I'm going here. But the concept is to turn those lines of connection between the players from red to orange to green. In FIFA, it works in a way that if players play on the same team, they play on the same league, or if they play for the same country, they are the same nationality, then the stronger the bond is between the players. So, of course, if you picked all England players that play in the Premier League, you'd have pretty strong green connections between the players. So then think about what it looks like for our players coming in. Now, of course, nationalities and league of play aren't going to be relevant here, but what school do your players go to? Do they hang out with each other outside of practice? Are they connected in any other ways? Do you have siblings or cousins or neighbors that play on the same team? All of these factors are going to help you in connecting these players from red to orange to green. Now, if you've taken a US Soccer Federation license recently, you'll know that one of the biggest kind of pieces of work that you do within the at-home training period is to talk about your team cohesion, is to talk about the stages of your team. Now, if you're familiar with Bruce Tuckman, you probably know it familiarly with forming, storming, norming, performing, and then adjourning, if that's one of the words that you use at the end. But basically, the stages of team development. Forming, of course, you've gone through training or tryouts, and now you're starting to put the team together. Storming is when they're starting to fight or figure out roles within the team and a hierarchy. Then you look at norming, where they're beginning to work it out and beginning to become a normal team. And then, of course, performing. And then the adjourning is the end of the season, or everybody's moving on, and maybe more relevant with some older teams like college or high school, where it's a real short season and club soccer tends to go on a little bit longer. But really kind of taking another spin on that and looking at how you connect those lines as good as possible. Now, I'm looking at a forming stage. When you're looking at the forming stage, we are probably red lines. But as a coach, this is where I have things like an IDP. And I could do a better job, as I'm sure most of us could do, in terms of connecting the IDP to who the individual is within the team, but then also who they know and what makes them tick, what helps them to feel confident, help them feel comfortable, what type of players they need to be around, who their friends are already on the team. And then if I really think about it, if I'm looking at game performances, where do my goals come from? Are they from the same player playing to the same person? You think about the success that Brady and Gronk have in the NFL and that connection. And there's a lot of connections like that across a lot of sports where it's the same player playing to the same player and the success that comes with that because they're on the same wavelength. Now, where do we struggle? Do I struggle with a right back, a number two, not liking the center back that they're playing next to and not listening to them or just not trying to help them because they don't really like them? So that, to me, would be a red line or a significant storming moment. But I really like the idea of looking at the connections with the players on the paper and look at the color of the lines. And then maybe adjusting my team formation so that I get as many of those greens together as possible. simple solution may be that all of my players that like each other the best are on the right side of the field. So perhaps we overload on the right side of the field and begin to attack that side. Same thing when you are in your training environment and you say to the players, get into pairs, get into groups of four, and you'll know the players that immediately get together. They are probably a very strong green connection. And then there are a couple players who will just be like, yeah, okay, the favorite people or the best people perhaps have got together, so I'll just kind of get together with you. Now maybe we're looking at yellow or orange lines, and then perhaps there's a couple kids who don't really like anyone or just feel left out. They may be the red line kids that have that connection or lack of connection with other players. So in your next training session, when you ask them to get into pairs, even if you just do a quick 2-minute activation in pairs, it's a really good observation to look at and say, okay, you guys all got together really quickly because I know that you like each other, you may be the better players on the team. How can I foster that relationship? How can I develop those green lines and spread them out almost like the roots of a tree into the rest of the team? My theory is on this, that if my center back and my center forward love each other and they get on so well, can I put a strong player between them that can connect them? Or maybe that center back plays center midfield or a defensive midfield and has that direct line of connection with the striker. And you'll see it when you play small-sided games. If you, one of my favorite things to do is say get into pairs and then merge those pairs together and then watch how strong the pairs are with another pair. And it's really, really interesting to watch them grow as a small group. So that's how I build on it. That's how I develop this idea of having green lines or moving, if you're still following Tuchman's work, moving from forming and storming into norming and then eventually into performing. And I think performing takes a while. Of course, we're in the youth soccer world where you probably have games every weekend. If I look at my last 2 weekends, I've just had 6 games, 4 in a tournament, because that's really good for players apparently, and then a game on Saturday and a game on Sunday. So now we've played 6 games. We have no choice but to perform. But of course, the environment says that we have to win straight away. Otherwise, we're failing as a team. But we're really focusing, and this is a communication I have with the families that I work with and the players that I work with, that we're always striving to perform. And in this norming or these orange and yellow lines of development, we're really working on us as a group becoming a team that can perform. So now you've grasped the concept of turning these lines to green, the kind of question that I think we're all trying to answer is, how do I develop that? And there's several ideas, really. And I think if we just stay rigid to our own training environment, whether you're training 2 days or 3 days a week or 4 days even, then the connection is always going to be around the game. And I think that's a strong place because, of course, we're all there for the same reason. But if you've listened to me before, I always talk about the importance of individuals striving because they are the ones that would be going on to college. They are the ones that will be going on to the professional league and not necessarily going with the entire team. So I really encourage you to look away from training as well. And I'll introduce some training ideas here shortly. But what about developing this team environment away from the field? There are classic ideas: pool parties, pizza parties, team events out to the beach, or wherever you are, you understand your environment and where you can take players and go hiking or all sorts of outdoor activities like that and work on team building. You may split players up randomly. You may have 6 players each and they all have to perform a task in a certain amount of time, and it just develops this cohesion. It develops this, it's traditional team development, if you like. And I'm sure if you just Google it real quick, you'll find lots of things. And I remember Gareth Southgate took the England team away with the army, actually I think it was the SAS, and they did all of this survival. And it's amazing because it's completely different from what they would normally be doing in a team training environment or in a training camp. And it just provides a different element for these players to connect in a new way. So consider things like volunteering. You develop a cohesion when you and all of your players head out to a food bank and help pack food or deliver food, or maybe you're helping to serve meals over Thanksgiving, your team volunteers for a community event where you're all there handing out water to runners, for example. Just things like that. You go to a local school and then you all are providing pickup soccer for a bunch of young kids. Or if your club has a mini academy or a junior program with 5 and 6 year olds and you're working with players who are several years older than that, take them out and have them become leaders for those little players, running scrimmages, running little skill practices. There are so many things that you can do for your players that will create this cohesion away from just beginning to understand that you have to develop a green line across the back line, because that's the only way that we can have success. So then let's go back to the training environment. Now, of course, you could involve getting to training early and do things like study, where you have fields or you use a local classroom or something like that. If you have your own facility where you can have your players together in a classroom, whether you do some kind of soccer theory or even some private study for their school homework, and you develop a group like that because they sit and they work with each other and they help each other out. But then into the actual training environment, I use small-sided games. I use small-sided games with a purpose. I may do attack against defense, which is a classic kind of training environment game. Maybe you have half field, put your goalkeeper in a back four with a couple of holding midfielders and an outlet, for example. And then you play forwards against attackers. And you play for bragging rights. You play winner takes all. You play the defenders are the best on the team right now versus the attackers who are failing. And of course, be careful if your team's failing to score goals or if you're conceding lots of goals in games, it could go wrong. And I like to have forfeits or punishments, but the punishments are between each rep, the losing team has to get the balls. And it's such a simple little thing, but it's a reward for the attackers. And it's not a punishment like you see kids dropping and doing push-ups or anything like that that you see on probably 95% of youth soccer fields. I see it on the field where I train, and the teams next to me are making kids do push-ups when they quote-unquote lose. But we don't get anything from that. Maybe you're working with older players who feel like they need that push, perhaps. They'll tell you that they think it's great and it's really helped them out and they don't want to lose because they don't want to go through the punishment. But in reality, fetching the soccer balls is one thing versus actually doing things like push-ups. And then my own experience has meant that I've seen players begin to storm much more because it perhaps is one player that's letting the team down. And then that player is a weaker player who then has no connection with other players because they're just seen as a liability. So the easiest thing with that player is to not necessarily give them the ball or try and hide them in other ways. So now, instead of developing this player and developing these green lines, they're just becoming a big red circle around them that players begin to avoid. So with physical punishments like that, I really try and avoid them unless I have a fully cohesive group that feel like they need to do 100 push-ups or force the losers to do something like that, because that's what's really going to enhance their own group cohesion. So really pay attention to what you feel like your players need. I don't feel like physical punishments are necessary. The players I work with, I don't think it's going to help them the most. And because I have such a broad spectrum of player and connection amongst the group, this is still fairly new for these players. It's not worth me punishing them like that. I don't want to do that to them. Now, you may do things like addressing bonus goals in training when the ball is worked through the lines. And I really like this because it rewards that connection. So a goal is worth one. But if we build from the back and play through the lines and score, whether that's within a certain amount of time or without losing possession, for example, that goal is going to be worth 2 or 3 goals, or it may win the game outright, depending on what the small-sided game is. But it's a bonus and it's a reward for them playing in the specific ways that's going to help us develop these connections. Otherwise, it's just a goal because we stole the ball and we scored a goal. And that's still a great thing, and still as a team we're having success. But I'm just going to fiddle the rules a little bit in ways of trying to connect the players throughout the lines. So I encourage you to take that into your training environment too. I talk a lot about observing our players, and not just observing and seeing how they're doing or what their needs may be, but also the relationships amongst players. I know that I work with teenage boys, and they will be boisterous and they will be rude to each other, and they will often say mean things or not pass to someone on purpose. And I see this. I see it all the time. So then my reaction is, how do I help to foster those relationships? Simple thing may be to force them to play together, but I'm a little bit smarter than that in the way I set things up. And I don't put the bad kids with the good kids or anything like that. I help them create their own teams, and then I help them foster those teams too. And those players with the big red circles around them, they all get factored in too. And I think it's really important. It's a real skill to develop to help these players grow into the team environment. And to finish off here, why do we want that? We want that because it's going to be success for all of them. A player may quit the game because they say they don't like soccer, when in reality, they actually just had a really awful time with a couple of players on their team who were bullies or who were rude all the time. And it then tainted their opinion that soccer was the problem and not necessarily their teammates. Especially at such an influential age around the teenage years, where it's easier for a player to leave and go and do something else that's maybe a little bit more appealing, when I think that if we observe more and pay attention to the color of the lines between our players, I think we can foster this amazing team development and then also begin to tie our players together too. Of course, it's all about performing, but I'm really working on developing these individuals. And I think off the field, and then also the consideration for on the field. And I think that we are then beginning to push these players forward as individuals, and then also how they can fit into any team and begin to connect those lines. So thank you for listening today. I really appreciate every listen I get. I would love to know what you think. I want to know your feedback at Lee Dunn Soccer. You can find me on all social media, and then my website is leedunnsoccer.com. I want to know what you think of shorter episodes. I want to know if there's something that you would like to pick my brain over, or a topic that you think I could share with people that would benefit, or something that I've said somewhere else along the way too. This was all about developing the lines and connecting the world of gaming that our players love to the actual real world that they're doing. And I think if we sit our players down and say, hey, we're going to make green lines between you all, they would understand it and they would be